Off the Ball. GAA.
Bloody booing.
Text me last night at 6 o'clock. Any sign of these power rankings? No, pal. You won't be getting 8 hours to prep to rip me asunder. You'll get to see it the morning of.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. Giving you a flavour of Ireland's sports breakfast show.
And Will's power rankings, TM. Nobody else ever done power rankings here except, well, there's no controversy about this.
There's no power battle over the power rankings.
You're the only one who's ever done the hurling ones for us, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it is. Was this year three of them now?
Are we going to get abuse from our colleagues again?
Probably, yeah.
Tonight.
Well, I mean, it depends. Seems where to be,
it's a daily thing these days. I'm involved in a little private thing with Mick McCarthy, and I was brought up, publicly shamed
oh, wow.
by my colleague last night. But I wouldn't do, I would never do something similar like that. So anyway, good morning, everybody. How are you?
Morning.
Dara, how are you?
I'm great.
Will, how are you?
I'm a friend to both shows, so I don't think we need to
turn this into
a beef.
You
have to pick a side now, you're here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the good news was that James Skell was actually okay with where I put Go in the power rankings. So both Paul Murphy and James Skell were too busy to join us. So Seamus Hickey, former Limerick captain, is going to be with us to assess the power rankings. But I ran it by both of them when I committed them to paper yesterday afternoon to say, so where are you with these? And Skell went, we deserve to be that low because of how poor goal we were last year.
Ah, what they're doing, Will, is using you. The communists would have called you a useful idiot because you're just pandering to them. What you should have done is, like, they've got the band back together. There's going to be, the opposite of a last dance, whatever that is.
I don't know.
But Michal Donoghue is back. They've got all the money in the world to spend on the team. They must be in the top four.
Yeah, but they're deconstructing the band currently, Michal Donoghue, since he's come back in. So three of his All-Ireland winners from 2017 already gone. I don't know what's going to happen with David Burke, but...
Is this official?
Yeah, right. Joseph Cooney's gone. Gerald McInerney is gone. Adrian Toohey is gone. So it's a lot of experience gone in one fell swoop, but the feeling is that now Galway are going to try and bring through the youth that maybe didn't happen under Henry Shefflin over the last 2-3 years. So it's a fairly fresh looking slate. So if anyone thought it was going to be a last dance, it actually appears that
the last dance is over.
A different direction, yeah.
All right, well, we'll get into that a little bit later on. If anybody else wants to get into any of the stuff that we're covering this morning, 0879 180 180 is the WhatsApp number. If you missed it last night, West Ham beat Wolves by 2-1. Matt Doherty with a really good finish. Equalised for Wolves at one point, but then Jared Bowen scored the winner, and we're just waiting for news of a chop to come at Wolves. We were told in advance that it was a loser leaves town type scenario, and Wolves lost last night, and Gary O'Neill hasn't really covered himself in enough glory yet to have any wiggle room. And they're now becoming detached at the bottom of the table. So
kind of felt like he'd stabilised things. And then obviously the last few weeks, the results have gone off a cliff again after a terrible start to the season. And watching the game last night, you didn't feel even after Doherty scored that Wolves were going to get a result. And it was a matter of time before West Ham would score a winner. Jared Bowen obviously paying tribute to Mikel Antonio, who's had that complex leg fracture from the horrible crash that he had on Saturday afternoon. So he's going to be out, they reckon, maybe until the start of next season. He's gone for surgery on the break that he's had in his leg.
So, if he comes back from that, it'd be a miracle, right?
Yeah, it's a very, very, very unfortunate one, obviously. But that's a huge result for Lopetegui, which West Ham badly needed.
In Champions League action, Liverpool will start with Alisson. That's the news coming through from yesterday's press conferences. So Kevin Kelleher dropped. Maybe Alisson's the Champions League goalkeeper now. They're playing Girona at 5:45. Celtic are at Dinamo Zagreb at the same time tonight at 8. It's Villa at Leipzig. And so we'll see. Emery's talking about trying to get both Duran and Watkins into the team, but he's so far been unable to do that. A little uptick in Villa's form has them back on the verge of Champions League places, so we'll see what the crack is with that.
The thing that surprised me at the weekend on that one, Jared, it's the first time in a couple of years that Watkins didn't start in the Premier League when he was fit and available. Because nobody had talked about the potential rotations here, but John Duran has very much been cup or backup when it came to the league.
Yeah, or he has tried a couple of times to pick them both, like just a couple of times, and it hasn't really worked. The balance of the team isn't right, but I think he'd be rested and he'll pick Watkins tonight. I mean, put a gun to my head now and I'm telling you Ollie Watkins is starting the game. But we'll see. Could be wrong. Maybe they're moving from one to the other. Watkins' form hasn't been great. And John Duran obviously is cresting into a position where it's difficult to drop. Other big game tonight, obviously, Real Madrid are away to last season's Europa League winners, Atalanta, who are currently top of Serie A. So that is, you would say a proper big game. Some other news, the World Aquatics Short Course Swimming Championships are underway in Budapest today. Pretty strong team. I think Nathan Whiffen is in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel's not competing. Mona McSherry is not competing after the Olympics, but they've gone strong outside of that.
And then really sad news overnight as well. Jodie Gormley, the former Tyrone footballer, has passed away at the age of 53. He did a sit down with GAA Social recently enough where he talked about his diagnosis and how his cancer was terminal, and the news came through yesterday evening that he has indeed passed away. So we obviously send our condolences to him and his family. I'm going to briefly just look at the newspaper headlines for you this morning. Dublin Donegal costs hit 1.8 million as GAA address revenue risk. So the McGuinness effect sees fundraising revenue skyrocket to 500 grand, but I guess they were just raising it on one side and giving it out on the other. This is the time of the year where we get to see exactly how much money is being spent on teams. And looks like the cost of doing business at intercounty level has gone up exponentially. But I do wonder if actually what's happening here is that the costs haven't gone up. The declaration of the costs is going up.
Potentially. I mean, a few of the conventions have made the point as well that particularly when it comes to Gaelic football, there are now more games in the calendar than there were previously. So therefore, more sessions and maybe, you know, a longer period of running has been required, despite the fact that the season has been condensed. It does feel that 1.8 is very high. I remember when teams started to hit 1 million. I remember when Galway first hit 1 million per team.
Dollars.
It was seen as this moment that was like, there's no going back once it's hit a million. 1.8 for a single team seems incredibly high. Obviously, at a time when Donegal are on a warm weather training camp currently as well, so timing when it comes
that
to this
term as well, preparation costs, what does that actually mean?
It's all encompassing, Dara.
Yeah,
I guess it's everything from nutrition to physio to scans for somebody. Like, is it separate? The itemization of everything in the costs in each of the individual counties is obviously something that I guess will have to be looked at. This revenue story is bubbling along. It's in all the papers today. I think Tom Ryan was on the radio yesterday talking about it. And you just get the sense that this could go well for them. I think you were saying off air that the GAA are intending to try and negotiate centrally with revenue. That would be unusual.
Well, I think county boards are very much hoping that that's going to be the case. So I was speaking to a couple of county boards 2 weekends ago when this really started to blow up around the management meeting on the weekend of Special Congress. And their concern was that obviously revenue are going back a few years, definitely back as far as 2018. We know that for a fact when it comes to the Mayo accounts, and Wexford also, I think, was over the 18-19 period as well with the voluntary declaration that they've made. So they're going through it a fine-tooth comb back quite a few years at this stage. And the feeling was with some county boards is that they've been obviously keeping accounts, but maybe not keeping accounts in the forensic way that revenue would want to see them over a prolonged period of time, and that we'll probably need professionals to come in and actually do the accounting for them effectively. That, you know, voluntary county boards are now really, really concerned about where they felt they were doing things in a certain way, but may well not be to revenue's liking when it comes to these audits. And certainly revenue have been given the impression, and the feedback from the management meetings were that they could end up looking not just at county boards, but potentially at clubs across the country in Gaelic games. So this could be seismic, and also could be a big issue when it comes to management payments, when it comes to team holidays, when it comes to all of these things that maybe there was a certain blind eye thrown to once upon a time. And obviously the backdrop to all this as well is that the independent report which came from Sheffield University a couple of weeks ago showing the value that Gaelic Games was bringing to the country when it came to the economy. And Gerlach Burns, the GAA president, had said afterwards that maybe revenue could look favourably on tax breaks for players or for county boards on the back of what they're contributing to society. And this story is obviously broken just a few days after that. I'm not sure if the timeline means that they knew that this was coming down the track, because clearly these audits were already taken.
Yeah, I think that this has been bubbling away for a couple of years here. It's like if you go all the way back to Pádraig Duffy, whenever that was it 10 years ago, he was suggesting that there are three options. One is do nothing, one is declare everything, and the other was have some full-time employees in the county work as the managers. Declare everything was basically pay managers a certain amount, and the other one was like to formalise it as employer contractors. And at that point he was saying, well, the revenue aren't going to continue to allow under the counter payments. So I think they've been planning for this, and I suspect that research was obviously instigated for numerous reasons. One is lobbying the government for more funding, and one of the ways that you get more funding is by tax breaks. So I wonder, is it possible that there are already these grants that GAA players get, which is the equivalent of the tax breaks for the full-time professional sports people in Ireland. So everybody's familiar with the fact, if you're a full-time professional sports person in Ireland, at the end of your career, you get a rebate from Taxman to help, you know, top up.
It's essentially like the artist grant that was brought in once upon a time.
And it was to keep our best rugby players in the country and to reward our soccer players. And it was Charlie McCreevy and Bertie, was it?
Would have been that
Emery
period,
serves?
Yeah. Early 2000s.
Was Brian Cowan involved? So obviously all the jockeys benefit from that, but the GAA didn't benefit from that, and then they have ended up getting a certain amount of grants. But there's probably like a nice neat figure that equates to a holiday fund that, like, you know, is a top up to what you can get as a gift every year.
If I was people. Incredibly cynical in all this as well, I know we've had the debate over the last two or three years, particularly coming out of COVID, that the GAA wanted to move away from cash payments on gates, and now at club level you have to have tickets in advance and everything has to be accounted for. I think they realised this was coming down the track as well, because that was a concern that came up definitely at the Galway convention that was last night, was that the accounts that we looked at the moment, they haven't signed off on their accounts for this year because the audit that's going on, I'm pretty sure it was Paul Belly who had made the point, I was reading the report in the Irish Examiner, that a lot of the period they're looking at was a time when Galway were taking cash on the gates, which revenue we're going to be concerned about as well.
Yes, there's an argument to be made that some counties, like you say, it goes back to probably 2018, that some counties had an unfair advantage in inter-county championships.
At that time?
Yeah.
I would say a lot of the practices were happening across the board.
And I don't think it manifested itself in results. Is that a fair way of answering that without...
Yeah. Put it this way.
Casting aspersions on anybody.
I don't think there were counties who had malicious intent about the way that they were accounting for their revenue or the way they were using their revenue to try and get an on-field advantage. I don't think.